Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio, and we are also back with Philippians 1, 12 through 26. And we have Dee, or Adriana.
Christy.
I'm so sorry. Catherine and Karen, myself, Sandy, and Tara. And we are going to continue on. And we just learned so much about Paul and what a wonderful witness he was as he was chained to these Roman soldiers. He just gave the everybody around him, you know, that saw this, they witnessed that. They saw his courage. They saw that God was continuing to work in him no matter whether he was chained. It's just an encouraging note to us that, you know, whatever chains we put on ourselves, we need to let go and let God.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. So we have looked at how Paul was referencing the fact that it was a deeper form of slavery that he's committed to Christ. And we examined, like, why watching somebody suffer, it builds us up in our confidence. It makes us bold. It makes us courageous. It gives us confidence, not because they're suffering, but how they handle their suffering. So we're now going to go in, and Adriana's going to read it all to us, but then we'll zone in, and we're going to start off with focusing in on verses 15, 16, and 17.
Okay. So it starts off, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, but not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am to live in the if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ because of my coming to you again."
That's so beautiful. I just, each time it's like I get blessed by something else that God ministers to me. I was, as you were sharing, I was like, oh, we need to tie back in to last time and what it ended with, and that Paul was saying that my imprisonment his so that you will dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. And to fearlessly speak the gospel, what does it mean to speak the message fearlessly? And Paul's saying, you know, that's his desire. And I wrote it in my Bible because this is the Bible that I use that I'm praying through grace. And I was just like, that day I remember in particular when I was reading this, it's like, God, just let every single person at Grace University speak the message fearlessly. Just beg that for God, for us, that we not be afraid, and that literally that fearlessness of, like, almost, because our school mascot's a lion, I visualized the lion and how the lion crouches down when it's about to attack its prey. Just, it's just ferocious. It's like, give us that. Make us ferocious for souls. That I literally have to want people to know Jesus. And if I'm not praying for people to know the Lord, I'm not going to be caring to lead people to the Lord. And I have discovered more and more that if I have a list and I have a group of people I'm praying for, I'm more intentional, I'm more deliberate, I'm more apt to be serious about giving them the gospel. And so I just, as Adriana read it, was like, wait, we got to say that. We didn't finish up. I needed that part to go in because it was something that I had wanted to say and I didn't say. Now let's look at verses 15 through 17. He then goes in to say, it's true that some preach out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. And the latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. But the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition and sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in a crisis. Like, it just makes me mad. So I want us to go, there's motives here that he is talking about. He actually lists out motives. What are the good reasons, the good motives that you see that he gives in this 15 through 17? He's listing them out very clearly.
Well, out of love.
Love?
I don't think this is genuine, but sincere.
Okay, yeah. Do y'all see any others? I put down that it's out of... Did you have one, Catherine?
Well, I was just going to say, when he says out of love, he says that knowing that he's put here for the defense of the gospel. So I think it's... I don't know how to put it, but like... In support and in standing shoulder to shoulder with him, I think that's also another.
Oh, that's huge.
That's good.
That's huge.
Kind of like picking up the mantle after he's taken into a different situation.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I like the way you said it much better. I just said defending the gospel. But I like the shoulder to shoulder. It's a good word.
I like that too.
Some of them are doing it literally out of goodwill. Their hearts are right. They are trying to do it for the right reasons. Okay, what are some of the bad reasons that it says that people are doing it?
Envy.
Envy? What else?
Selfish ambition.
Yeah.
They're trying to give Paul a hard time, I guess.
They are. It says some of them are doing it for the sole purpose of just... irritating him.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't do it, I'm going to do it and see if that messes with your head. It's really sad.
They want to be number one. Yeah.
It's sad. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that I wrote down by looking at different translations. I wrote envy, strife, a competitive spirit, selfish ambition, serving without sincerity, focused on image, stirring up trouble for Paul. Those were some of them that I wrote down that were the bad reasons he was listing. And so, there are three things that we, whenever we're speaking the gospel, that we need to look at that always are a part of it. And he gives them clearly in this. There's a method, there's a motive, and there's a message. And as in Acts 16, when Paul talks to the demon-possessed girl gives the right message, but as a very poor method. And so it's actually a distraction to the gospel. Okay, she's preaching, she's yelling out, she's proclaiming out, these men are of the Most High God, and they will tell you of the Most High God. But she was shouting it over and over and over. So her message was 100% truth, but how she did it was not bringing people to the Lord. It was causing people to not get near. The motives were not right as well. And but Paul is saying here, he doesn't care what the method is, what the motive is. They're giving the right message. Mm. And so he just is happy that Jesus is being proclaimed. Right. But the reality is we need to know about these three when we're in the process of speaking Christ, or if we're under somebody and they're speaking Christ. I have learned, because at seminary, when I first graduated with my master's, I was taught all of these methods. And we went and did a church plant. And do you know what? Not one single method I was taught worked. Not one. We had to reevaluate with our people group, rethink, regroup, and recreate what we were going to do. It just didn't work. And we had to find a new method and almost create a method that worked with the people. The message stayed the same, but the method was different. But our motives were right, because we wanted to have Christ focused. The big issue here is the motives, and that when we are going in, making sure our heart's right, we need to evaluate our hearts. And how easy is it for us to get our motives off? I don't know. Sometimes in my prayers with God, I'm like, God, I don't know that my motives have ever been pure. So I just might as well confess that as a sin. I don't know that I could ever say in all purity that my motives were in the right place. I want them to be, but that selfish, self-centered me, myself, and I somehow.
The flesh jumps up. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Right. Okay. How can we misappropriate these three?
Is yes an appropriate answer?
Huh?
Is yes an appropriate answer?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Elaborate.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just in every single one of these areas, you can go too far on either extreme or any of the extremes, basically. And, like, whether, especially when it comes to motives, you can, well, when it comes to motives, I guess there aren't really extremes. There's either you're doing it for Christ or you're doing it for yourself. And it'll be more effective if you're doing it for Christ, and God is more likely to use it in huge ways. And it's what he's called us to do. And so, I mean, even whether or not he uses it doesn't matter in that situation. It's that we are called to be giving ourselves over to Christ, and if we're not willing to give our heart and our motives to Christ, then we're in the wrong.
Right. Right. That's good. I know one time I was at a TV station, was asked to go in for a Cox cable network thing for somebody locally. And I brought in my NIV Bible, and she got really upset with me. It's like, that is wrong. You cannot. That's blasphemous. You know, it has to be the King James translation. And I was just in shock. And I didn't have a chance to say anything to her. But after evaluating the process and the conversation and just being overwhelmed, because it was my first encounter of somebody getting really upset about translation on a radical level. And I later was like, okay, so if I share using the NIV to Sally Mae, I'm just going to make up the name, and she comes to know Christ and she gets to heaven, is God going to say no because it was from the NIV translation?
Absolutely not.
Right. Right. And so it's like, okay, yeah, we need to rethink how we handle some things, because sometimes we can make something
major.
Make it
a little legalistic almost.
Right.
You know?
We can make something a major when it's not.
Yeah.
And so, yes. Yeah. So what Adriana said, it just, we can mess it up. We can mess it up really bad. All right. So let's go to verse 18. How are we on time? Oh, we got good time. So what does it matter? Verse 18 says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. That's amazing. What would you say his main idea is on this one?
Main idea?
Mm-hmm. When you look at it, what do you think?
The message is proclaimed.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he's rejoicing in just that, not worrying about how or where or what, but it was, the truth was spoken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, God's got it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what's going on.
Yeah. All the time.
He brings up that joy again. Mm-hmm. And I found that in the four chapters of Philippians, joy appears 19 times.
Wow.
That's a lot of joy.
It is a lot of joy. And the other thing that, what my question was, what really matters is that he knows, he has confidence that God's going to provide that one, that the Christ is preached. But I was thinking it's really a fulfillment of Acts 1:8, and that Jesus told them, you know, go make disciples to Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world, is what he, be my witnesses, is what he says, to the outermost parts of the world. And so that is happening. But what stopped me is that he says, I know that through your
prayers. Yeah.
I know that through your prayers. He recognizes that their praying is part of his empowering to do what he is doing. It's why he's able to rejoice. Mm-hmm. It is why he's able to be confident. It's why he's able to be brave. And I wrote, when I was praying through this in my Bible, I wrote, people who pray together and play together are bonded better.
Mm. I like that.
I know. It was just, that's kind of when I was praying over Grace that day, you know, just that prayer play makes that bond so much richer. And he has that bond with them because they are praying into this for him. And
that's why he's so close to them too, is he knows without a doubt that they're praying for him.
Exactly. I had a circumstance where somebody was like, you know, so the person wants me to love them, and I'm And like, I don't know how was the answer. And I'm like, okay, so why don't you take scripture and pray scripture into that person? Mm. And the person was kind of like, what? And I'm like, if you're praying scripture into somebody, you can't help but love them. Mm-hmm. And when we're praying scripture over somebody and into somebody, the crazy thing is they see that we love them. Mm-hmm. It's crazy what happens through that bond of what happens when we pray scripture into somebody's life. And I know for myself that God has used that to change me radically towards people that I didn't want to love. Enough said on that one.
We okay. Help those difficult people.
So how did Paul respond to Christ preached based on those verses? What were his responses?
He rejoiced.
And then what does he do? Again, he continues to
rejoice.
Twice. He says it twice. He rejoices twice. What else? He trusts them because of, you just said it, their prayers. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else? What does God provide?
Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Or as he puts it, the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Right, right. And God will bring what?
Deliverance.
Okay, you guys, he just says he has confidence in his deliverance because of their prayers.
Mm-hmm. Expectation.
Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. I have something I've been praying over for quite some time, and Catherine's mom doesn't know this, but she gave me a verse, and she said victory is in Jesus in it, and that she had a dream and felt that something was coming, and that the victory has happened in Jesus. And so as I am praying over this long-term prayer request that I have, I keep going back to her verse and the victory, because I have been built up in confidence because she has prayed. Mm-hmm. And God gave her a verse for me. Mm-hmm. And so that has built me up and made me stronger, made me more confident, because I had somebody that did not know I had something I was carrying before the Lord. And she gave me a verse that, keep persevering, God's got something, victory in it. And so there's something that happens in us that when somebody's praying, we can have that assurance, okay, I will make it through, deliverance will come. And so we're gonna see as we get further into this passage, deliverance may not be necessarily what we want or think it could be, but it's amazing because God's at work. God bless.